Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 15. Verses 33 and 34. Mark chapter 15. Hallelujah. 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 Once you find it, if you're able, stand in honor and reverence to the word of God. Mark chapter 15. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is the being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Lord, please bring the word like only you can through your servant. Calm my nerves, get the microphone to stop skipping, and just move in your way. We ask for your glory to move. Allow no technical glitches to walk in here. Allow the sound to be right to keep us from being distracted. Allow the sound system to work in which it's supposed to work. And allow all of us to do our intricate part so we may be as one with you. Bring this word like only you can. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And to take your seat, as you take your seat, amen. We put the blood of Jesus on you because you're tripping for a minute. But we want to speak to you from the subject of the power of a lonely moment. The power of a lonely moment. And we're still in our series, Matters of the Heart. And we have one more next week. We have one more. This thing is skipping. It's skipping. Help me. Help me. Don't let it go out on me. Amen. The battery is good. The battery is good. Or do I need another mic? Amen. I don't know. It's another one. I'm going to grab number five. Number five. Amen, amen. Oh, that sound better. That's it. This from now on, this is my mic. Whatever is on, leave it alone. Leave it right here. We coming from the subject of, whoo, Jesus, get this my mic. This is my mic. Whatever they're sitting on, leave it alone. Let it be right here. I feel like the Holy Ghost is about to fall in here right now. You hear this sound? This is how I want to hear myself. I like hearing myself talk every now and then. But anyway, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This was the great separation, the moment when God forsook Christ, his only son. What is the meaning of this shocking statement? The very idea that God could and would forsake his only son staggers the human mind. Yet Christ shouted out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The meaning cannot be ventured into lightly. The meaning requires reverence and much prayerful thought. But even then, even after an eternity of prayerful thought, the depth of the meaning remains fathomless and unreachable to man. Scripture indicates several meanings of this statement. Why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus sensed that God hath withdrawn his presence from him. He sensed that God was no longer with him. Why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus sensed that God hath withdrawn his deliverance. Always in the past, when Jesus was troubled, God had met his need. When he staggered with the thought of the cross, God sent a voice from heaven to assure him in John 12, 27 and 28. And when he was facing the cup in the Garden of Gethsemane, God had even sent an angel to strengthen him. But now, hanging on the cross, God had forsaken him. There was no deliverance from God. He was left all alone. Why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus sensed that he was bearing the curse of God, the curse of separation from God, the curse of the judgment and condemnation of God against sin. Why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus sensed that God's life and holiness had left him, that he had been delivered into the hands of the enemies of life and holiness, that is, into the hands of sin and death. He was being made sin and having to die. And both sin and death were foreign to God, alien to God. Nature,
which is life and holiness, both sin and death stood as enemies of God and enemies to that belonging to God. Do you understand that God can't look at sin, and the only reason he can even stand to look at you and me is because we're covered with the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. In becoming sin and dying, Christ experienced all that was contrary to the nature of God. All that involved in God separating himself from sin and death. Jesus' cry was prophesied in Psalms 22:1. The reason God had to forsake Jesus is given in the third verse of that same chapter. Thou art holy. Jesus had become sin for many, and our God who is holy does not look upon sin. Christ bore sin for man, therefore he had to bear the penalty due man, the penalty of separation from the perfectly holy God, and all the mystery of his death. Scripture proclaimed Jesus, his own self, bore our sins, his own body on a tree. He had become sin for us. Amen. See, I know that you say we are born into sin and we are shaping into iniquity, but I need you to understand that Jesus was not born into sin. You know why? Because the woman's body is an amazing thing. Keep it holy with me. It's an amazing thing. They have something in the body called a placenta, and what it does is it keeps the baby separated from all foreign matters, even keeps it separated from the DNA and the blood of the woman. The woman's body is so powerful, the only thing that it allows to infiltrate the territory of the baby is the man's DNA. So God said, I don't need you to be born in sin because I need to come in the world holy. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So I'm going to impart my seed in the woman, impregnate her with my DNA. So when he comes out, he'll come out Emmanuel. God is with us. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He did all this for you and me. And see, that's why he had to come be born of a woman, because he needs legal authority. In the Bible, it says, he who has not entered through the gate has only come to kill, steal, and destroy. See, a lot of times we say the devil only comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but what we leave out is that precursor of the verse that said, he who has not entered through the gate. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The gate is a woman. You had to be born of a woman to have legal authority. That's why the Antichrist wants to be born of a woman to have legal authority. You have authority over angels because they don't really have real authority in the world. And if you have authority over the angels that are obedient to God, why in the world are you letting the devil put you in the headlock? Why in the world are you letting the devil take over your life? He can't do nothing with you. He's a fallen angel. He has no authority over your life. You have all the authority. That's why angels get upset in Hebrews and say, what is man that you're mindful of him, that you made everything to be subject under their feet, yet they don't walk in that power. God put his DNA in it, and God became everything we needed. Remember when we had the H1N1 breakout? Remember that? They had H1N1 and everybody got sick because then they said that the flu had morphed. I don't know how many nurses we got in here, but at the end of the day, I don't do flu shots. Yeah, y'all hear me? I don't do flu shots because until I get the flu, because what they do is they go all the way to Africa, go the year before, try to figure out what strain gonna make it over here, and then that's what they make the cure with. I ain't got time for you to be guessing with my life and my health. Come on, somebody. I don't have time for all of that. All I know is if you, I can't take a flu shot. And so what happens is you have to, there's a part of the serum, a part of the poison that's in the flu shot is used for your antidote. Oh, let me get a little more personal. If you get bit by a snake and you get bit by a copperhead and you tell him it's a rattlesnake, you're going to die. You know why? Because a part of the poison is in the serum or the antidote. Y'all hear what I'm saying? A part of the poison is in the serum. You need some of the poison. See, you got to understand, Jesus became the poison for us. See, back in Leviticus, you had to get some turtle doves for this type of sin. You had to get a bullock for this type of sin. You had to get a cow for this type of sin. You had to get all these different things for different types of sin. But when Jesus came, he became the perfect sacrificial lamb. So whatever it is you are, he became that for you. He became your inoculation. He became every dirty thought you got. He became everything you needed. Even though he was mocked on the cross, he stayed on there. Even though they cursed him, he stayed on there because he knew that if he would not stay there, we wouldn't make it to eternity. Oh, he became sin for us. He epitomized it for us. But what you need to understand is this, people. It was not the cross. It was not the nails of the cross that bothered Jesus. No. Although they were horrific, it was not the crown of thorns that he feared. Although they cracked his cranium and he could barely see through his bloody eyes, it wasn't them plucking out his beard. It wasn't them being raised up on the cross naked. Now I know that you say you thought he had a loincloth on, because when you look at the crucifix, they always put some little drawers on him. Come on, somebody. But at the end of the day, he was brought out naked to cover your nakedness. Because of his nakedness, you're covered. If he was not being brutalized and naked for you, you would be uncovered right now. He became all of that for you. One theologian said that he was beaten so bad his entrails hung out, which means he carried the cross in one hand and held his entrails in the other. That's how much he loved you. But that's not what he did. What he hated was when he became what he hated. He became sin for us. It wasn't the nails. It was your freakiness and my freakiness. It was your lies and my lies. It was your fornication and my fornication. It was your adultery and my adultery. It was your cheating and my cheating. It was whatever every nasty thought or whatever you did. Jesus became what he hated and what he had never experienced, and therefore he felt separation from God. Jesus had never felt separation from God. You see, when Satan began to talk to Adam and Eve in the garden, the problem wasn't that they was going to die immediately. He said, you will surely die. And then the devil said, you shall surely not die. And he was not really talking about a physical death right away. What he was talking about is you will be death. Death in the Greek means separation, which means when you begin to sin, you are separated from God. And then that's why God began to walk down in the cool of the day after Adam and Eve had sinned. He said, where are you? He didn't know where they were. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Now, it's not that God doesn't know. See, a lot of preachers mess you up because they always get up and say, the Lord can do anything but fail. The Lord can fail if he wants to. God can do whatever he wants. And when he sinned, he couldn't find him. See, y'all know this messing with your theology, but don't, aren't you glad because he was crucified for you? When you ask for forgiveness, he says he'll forget your sins as far as the east is from the west. He'll forget your transgressions. He'll forget that, because God can be ignorant if he want to. They asked him, they said, where are you? And he said, I was naked and hiding from you. And he said, who told you was naked? See, why are you letting people call you something God ain't called you? Why you let them call you a whore? Why you let them call you a prostitute? Why you let them call you a liar? Why you let people call you out your name? If you ain't gonna call me what God called me, don't call me at all. God called me what he created me to be, not what I act like. God called me by my purpose and not by my mistakes. God called me by my successes and not my failures. So who are you? If God don't call me good stuff all the time, you better call me something good too, baby. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross because he didn't want to become what he hated. And it's amazing how God himself looked around heaven and looked around the world and said, I have nothing big enough to swear by, and I swear by myself, is what he told Abraham. When you try to get a loan, you put your car up or your house up, but God said, I got to put myself up, because I tried to use Abraham, but he kept lying about his wife because she was so fine they thought they was going to kill him. He tried to use Noah, but he wouldn't leave the E and J alone. He tried to use Gideon, but he kept doubting. He tried to use Jeremiah, but he kept crying about everything. He tried to use Isaiah, but he kept cussing everybody out. He tried to use Moses, but he kept whining and killing folk. He tried to use Samson because he wouldn't stay out, but he wouldn't stay out Delilah's house. He tried to use David, but he wouldn't leave nobody's house. So better watch out. So God said, I swear by myself, he's walked down 40 in two generations, emptied himself of his omnipotence and omnipresence. He emptied himself, reduced himself down to his least common denominator, pouring out his divinity. So when he stepped in Mary's womb, he went busted wide open, came out, Emmanuel, God is with us. And if that was not enough, it was shocking that he was born in a lonely manger. It was shocking that there was no witnesses but sheep and oxen. It was shocking that he was only wrapped in milk rags and not like a king that he truly was. It was shocking that he was in a manger, a trough where the pigs ate out of. It was shocking that he did all this for us. It was shocking that he was born of a woman he created. It was shocking that he nursed from the breast he made. But that wasn't enough for God. If that wasn't shocking enough, this God put himself on the line. I go myself to the cross. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He went by himself. That's how bad Jesus was. See, you got to understand that Jesus knew he had to go to the cross so people could be saved. The wages of sin is what? Death. But he had never sinned, which means he should have never died, which means he would be walking amongst us right now today if he was never gone to the cross. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He went to the cross and laid his life down. He said, nobody take my life. He laid it down willingly. See, the devil began to figure out, you know what? Everybody gonna be saved if I break the law on Jesus. He hasn't sinned. So if I just keep it from going to the cross, that's why Peter raised up and said, don't go to the cross. And what did Jesus say? Get ye behind me, Satan. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, when you're going through your lonely moments and people be talking about you and you complaining, people told me you need to go home and catch that midnight train to Georgia. Them folk over at that church driving you crazy. You ain't never had no gray hairs. Your hair thinning out. Your blood pressure high. You need to get up out of there and you better go on and follow Gladys on back to Atlanta, Georgia. You better get up out of there. Your life gonna be short. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. But the thing about it, even in my lonely time, even when I felt like God wasn't with me, I understood that I gotta stay in the midst of my lonely time because I gotta understand, get ye behind me, Satan, is what Jesus said to Peter. You gotta tell folk to get ye behind me, Satan, whenever they try to get you to do something that's beneath what you called to do. If it ain't, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Whenever somebody try to get you to dumb down your anointing or walk away from the battle or sit up there and throw in the towel and not do what God tells you to do, you gotta say, get ye behind me, Satan. I don't care if it's your mama or your daddy. I don't care if it's a deacon or your pastor. I don't care who it is. I don't even care if it's me. If I try to reduce you down less than your calling, you tell me to get behind you. Not gonna give up my purpose because I'm going through a dark moment. I'm not gonna give up my destiny because I'm getting beat to a bloody pulp. I'm not gonna let go of my destiny because demons keep trying to hold me back. What can separate me from the love of my God? No height, no depth, no principality, no former things, no latter things, nothing. Who, Jesus, went to the cross and God lined it up. He already had him not born in sin because he didn't want Satan hating on you and having a case against you. You know how the lawyer, they'll try to bring a case against you and try to mess up your character or say you went through a loophole or something. But God covered the loopholes in the natural. He was born of a woman. He had natural authority. Now he has to be a sacrificial lamb. He fulfilled the law. He didn't come and do away with it. He didn't sin. Now he's about to go to the cross, and the Romans thought it was an execution. It was until Pontius Pilate wiped his hands, because nobody can open up a sacrifice but a priest, not a Roman. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And so now that Pilate has washed his hands and the priest gave the nod of his assent, now it moved from an execution to a crucifixion. And now the priest himself was offered as the sacrifice. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He is the high priest. Yet he went to the cross for us. And so that means he was a perfect sacrifice. He didn't sin. He fulfilled the law. Now the perfect priest that covered everything. You don't need to look for a turtle dove or a bullock. Now you have the priest himself being offered by another priest as the sacrifice. Not only was he a sacrificial lamb, he was the high priest himself, which means he covered you. Oh, somebody better hear what I'm saying. I'm going to get to the folk that don't come to church. I'm talking to the church folk right now. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but I get to some regular stuff. Because everybody ain't going to shout on Easter because they don't come to church enough. But I'm going to get to some regular stuff. God going to cover you. He going to cover you. He going to meet you where you are. And they miss. You know, I just don't understand why people always want to be seen in ministry. I've worked for 20-something years behind the scene. Never hardly preached. Only preached once or maybe twice a year. Never tried to ask for a speaking engagement. Didn't always try to get in the path of the speak because I understood I'm called to ministry, not to get paid and not to be seen. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Jesus went to the cross not as a king, but as a lonely lamb going before the shearer. Nobody was there with Jesus. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Nobody was with Jesus. When somebody tried to give him some water because he was thirsty, they mocked him and gave him vinegar. And he said, I thirst just to fulfill scripture. Do you know Jesus just said stuff just to fulfill scripture? Do you know God will let you go through some hell in your life just so you can fulfill scripture? How can you be more than a conqueror if you ain't got nothing to conquer? How can you be an overcomer if you ain't got nothing to overcome? I mean, to tell you right now, that person that's getting on your nerves at your job is there for you to fulfill scripture. He's there so he can begin to allow you to walk on demons. So he who is in you that is greater than he who was in the world, he who began a good work in you shall finish it. You have resistance in your life so you can fulfill scripture. They didn't want to talk to Jesus. It's amazing that Jesus was all by himself. 5,000 people came when he was handing out fish sandwiches. It's amazing that people, how they'll be around you when you're giving them what they want to eat. Yeah. Everybody loved Jesus when he was walking on the water. Everybody loved Jesus when he was healing the widow's son. Everybody loved Jesus when he was causing the blind to see. Everybody loved Jesus when he was giving the beatitude. Everybody loved Jesus when he turned water into wine. Everybody loved Jesus when he was doing his miracle. But when he started getting beaten and started getting beat down, everybody left him. There was no palm. There are no palms in your life. And see, y'all know what I'm saying? When your name is good and your name can get me a job and your name can get me in the fraternity and your name can get me in Jack and Jill and your name can get me in a political place, everybody love you then. But when you start going down, you will realize who your real friends are. It's not your crowd moments that you know your true friends. It's when you go through your cross. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Do you understand God's allow you to go through hell and allow you to go through tribulation just to show you when people thin out that he was with you all the time? It was him with you in the jail cell. It was him at the courthouse. It was him in the mess up. It was him when you got a furlough. It was him when you got laid off. He was with you all the time. They're covering you. He said, even if I make my bed in hell, my God, his rod and his staff shall cover me. Even if my mother and father forsake me, my God will still be there. Sometimes God allows some hell to go in your life just so when people thin out, you will know it was him and not your friends. Oh, They don't hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you that there's no cross, there'll be no crown. See, the problem with us is we want the crown, but we don't want the cross. Jesus said, if you don't suffer with me, you can't reign with me. See, people want to be in front of people. People want to be a great leader. People want to be in front of people preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. If somebody got a powerful message or somebody a great leader, I can point to somebody that's been through some suffering. You can't lead right until you've been through some suffering. You can't preach right until you've been through some suffering. If you ain't been through no suffering, you ain't got nothing to tell me. You ain't got no suckers in your life until you go through some hell. And there's a people backstab you, and there's some people leave you for dead, and to the people you trust turn their back on you. You ain't got no sermon. The hell in your life is what makes you strong. The challenges in your life is what get the chafe out of you and take you to the next level in glory. I'm trying to talk to somebody today. I'm trying to tell you that whatever lonely moment you're going through, if you can learn how to cry them lonely teardrops and don't call every Tom, Dick, and Harry to your house, or don't call every Mary, Keisha, and Taquisha to your house, if you can just sit in your house by yourself in your lonely moment, God has sent you and be an ever-present help. The problem is we try to medicate ourselves by the wrong fire. Oh, trying to talk to somebody. Jesus cried and nobody was there. Nobody was at the cross. It's amazing how Jesus talked about all the disciples and loved Peter, James, and John, but he didn't specifically say he loved nobody but John. I believe he loved John because John was the only disciple at the cross. What was blind Bartimaeus? He wasn't at the cross. Where was Peter? He wasn't at the cross. Where was Judas? He wasn't at the cross. Where was Bartholomew? He wasn't at the cross. Where was Thomas? Where was the lepers? Where was the woman with the issue of blood? Where was the woman he healed on the Sabbath? Where were they? See, you don't understand it. When you're going through your cross, people ain't going to be there. God allows you to go through that stuff so you won't worry about nobody's opinion about you. Oh, come on, somebody. I done had so much hell thrown at me that I don't worry about it no more. You know what I do? I take that manure, rub it off me, put it in the ground, and use it as fertilizer. That's all they do. Throw your mess at me, baby. I'm ready for it. You can throw your lie at me. You can throw your standard at me. Whatever you throw at me, I'm going to wipe it off my body, put it in the dirt, and grow from it. Because your mess is my manure and my fertilizer.
Throw your mess at me. Throw your lies at me. Throw your hate at me. I need some haters in my life. I need some folk to talk about me. I need some bad news. You know why? Because green grass is greener when there's a little boo-boo on it. Yeah. You can go to the country somewhere and you go around that grass, it's real green, but it don't smell good. I don't care if my life stinks. I don't care what I smell like. I just got manure all over me because all of the mess that's been thrown at me just makes me that much more stronger and that much more greener. You ain't nothing but fertilizer. Tell your haters, you ain't nothing but fertilizer. I don't need no true green. I don't need no lawn, man. I got enough hate in my life to make my grass green. Ooh, Jesus. They scream, Hosanna, Hosanna, the Sunday before, and the next Sunday they crucified him. You better be careful about them people that's clapping for you. They just fatten you up like they fatten up Wilbur in the Charlotte's Web. You better watch out. They were treating Wilbur real good, but they were going to eat him. And they clapping for you at your job. They clapping you talking about how good you doing. All they want to know is your business. All they want to do is clap for you. You better stop running to them Palm Sunday Christians. They are there. Say Hosanna today and kill you tomorrow.
Ooh, you preach so good. You preach so good. Now, where you at?
Thank you.
See, that's why it don't bother me, because some folks will come up to me and be like, your sermon was good. This sermon good today. Because really trying to tell me it ain't like the one yesterday. I don't care. It ain't my business what I preach. That's God's business. And when you finally get to the point where you serve God and not other folk, you won't worry about everybody's opinion because everybody got an opinion. The world will tell you everybody got two things. One of them an opinion. Just had to talk to my unchurched folk to keep them woke. That's it's Easter. It's Easter. You know, I got to. Yeah. Had to get them something they can relate to. Something wrong with me, I know. But he died for me too. Amen. Look at that. I got the Holy Ghost right here. Jesus. Fire! I'm back. What got me, Sister Esther, was this. It wasn't verse 34, it was verse 33. He said from the sixth to the ninth hour. And I wonder what was the significance of it. He said darkness was all on the land from the sixth to the ninth hour. See, what God is trying to let you know is that even though you went in a battle at an appointed time, he has an appointed time for your deliverance. If you can just hang on from the sixth to the ninth hour. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I know you lost your job, but if you can just hang on from the sixth to the ninth hour. I know your husband left you, but if you can just hang on from the sixth to the ninth hour. Just hold on. No matter what you're going through, can you hold on? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I know you went through a furlough. I know they talking about you. I know your husband keep tipping out on you. I know your wife keep leaving you. I know your mama don't like you. But if you could just hang on from the sixth to the ninth hour, if you could just keep hanging on in the midst of the night, if you could keep on hanging with God and let your purpose be more powerful than your attack, your latter day will be better than your former day. If you can keep doing your good stuff and fainting not, you will have your due reward in your season. You'll be like a tree planted beside rivers of living water that yields fruit in its season. You know why some folk get mad? Some folk get mad because it ain't their season. You gotta wait on your season. Stop getting mad when your next door neighbor sees it, not your season. Stop getting mad when your mama sees it, not your season. Stop getting mad when your sister sees it, not your season. Can you just hold on from the sixth to the ninth hour? Can you stay faithful? Jesus could have got off the cross. He could have called leaders of angels to take him off the cross. Yet he stayed there because he understood that if he suffered enough, his name would be exalted and he would save everybody. The old school preacher would tell you like this. On Friday he died. Hey, he stayed in the grave all night Friday. Then they'll come tell you that he stayed in the grave all day Saturday. And all night Saturday, but early Sunday morning, he got up. But I want to put your name there. I died on Friday. Come on, somebody. I went through some high gas prices. I got laid off at my job. I know I've been dead. I know I look defeated. I know I look like I ain't gonna make it. I know I look like I'm about to die. But I know I'm about to rise again. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, I got to. Jesus said that you will do greater exploits in my name. Which means if he rose from the dead, I got that same power. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise me out my debt. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise me out of my abusive relationship. That same power that got Jesus out of the grave will raise me out of my scandal, will raise me out of my mess, out of my sinful nature. I know I'm dead. I know I look defeated. I know I look down and out. But they thought Jesus was dead too. They buried him on the cross. He hung his head. But you know what he said? He had the unmitigated gall. Even though he was bleeding, even though he was beat to a bloody pulp, even though they couldn't recognize him, he said, no man, take my life. I lay it down. You got to tell Satan, you can't have my life. My God, ladies. See, this is what y'all got to understand. Jesus said, I lay my life down. He laid it down on Friday and he left it there. He laid it there on Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he picked it back up again. And then he said, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? If he conquered death, what you worried about? He conquered death. Why you worried about racism? He conquered death. Why you worried about Donald Trump? He conquered death. Why you worried about people hating on you? He conquered death. Why you worried about getting out of debt? If he conquered death, what in heaven or the other place holding you back? You got the power. He said, he got up with all power in his hands. But what he did, he gave it to you and me in the form of the Holy Ghost. And I can do all things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. What dark moment you're going through? What lonely patch in your life you're going through? What keep kicking against you? It can't hold you back if Jesus conquered death. He conquered death. He said from the 6th to the 9th hour, it looked hopeless. Thomas doubted him. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. They said it wasn't real. The sun went black. The moon turned to blood. The earth shook and the veil was split from the top to the bottom. They rolled a rock in front of his grave. But on Sunday morning, he got up. Took his time, folded his linen, commanded an angel to move the rock, and he walked out victorious. I just need to stop hooping for a second. I got to talk to you. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, ain't that crazy? Now, if you believe something that crazy, what you worried about? I don't understand how people can come to the church and hear, and he died on Friday and got up on Sunday morning with all power in his hands. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? And we believe that story. Yet we walk back to our job on Monday feeling defeated. Why is that? If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was in a grave for 3 days and got up, if you can believe something that crazy, why you can't believe it can bring you out of debt? You gotta tell them, I know I've been in a grave for 3 or 4, maybe some more years, but I'm about to get back up again. I know I've been in debt, but I'm about to raise out this grave. I know I look defeated, but I'm about to get up.
and step out the two of my life. What you worried about? I'm tired of preaching how Jesus died and got back up again, and y'all still leave here sad. You still in here worrying about debt, worried about sickness and disease, worried about your health, worried about your marriage, worried about your children. You believe this foolishness. Yes. Don't get mad, because that's what he said. In the Bible, it said God uses the foolishness of man to confound the wise. He said nobody will believe the foolishness of the cross unless you got faith. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe in the bloodstained banner of Jesus, but I also believe that when he died on Friday and when he got up on Sunday with all power in his hand, I believe he gave it to me and you in the form of the Holy Ghost. And can't nothing stop me. Can't nothing stop you. Tell them you're covered by the blood of Jesus. Tell every demonic power. Tell every hex. Tell every lie. Tell every scandal. Tell every demonic power. Tell them that you're covered by Jesus. See, back in the Old Testament, you needed to do all this stuff, but you got to let them know he is my Feast of Weeks. He is my Passover lamb. He is my unleavened bread. He is my salvation. He is my bloodstained banner. He is my victory. He is my priest. He is my forgiver. He is my battle axe. He is the great I am. He is my Jehovah Jireh. He is my Jehovah Shalom. He is my Jehovah Nisi. He is my El Shaddai. Whatever I need, he is. Nothing can stop you but yourself. God is the author and finisher of your faith. He who began a good work in you shall finish it. Stop worrying about your enemies. They can't stop you. Nothing can stop you. If you believe that Jesus bled and died and rose on the third day so that you may not perish but have everlasting life. And after that, he gave you the Holy Ghost and said you could do all things through Christ who strengthened you. Why are you worried about anything? Whatever you're going through, he gave you the strength to go through it. He also says that he'll never put more on you than you can bear. If you can't handle it, he won't give it to you. Whatever you're going through, he's already there. See, let me make you feel better and sit down so we can offer people Christ and pray for the missionaries. Let me tell you this real quick. He forsook Jesus because he became sin, right? But he'll never forsake you. Even in the book of Esther, when we don't even hear God at all, God's name is not mentioned. God is there working in the background. He's there working out some stuff and orchestrating what he needs and ordering your steps in his word. He never leaves you. Even though you feel like you're alone, it's not that you're alone. Your flesh is alone because he pulled some people away from you that you don't need to be dependent on no more. He's been there, but your flesh has been dependent on some false prophets, some false friends, some false Southern Comfort. Some of y'all will catch that. Jack and Daniel ain't your real friend. Yeah. You've been trusting and leaning on some false securities. And when God begins to pull them away, your flesh begins to scream like that baby. Because it doesn't want to let go of its control. When you begin to beat your flesh into submission, it will cry out and make you feel like you're in a place that you can't get out of. But it's only God flushing out the impediments of your faith. Who is it that needs to depend on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Who is it?